DeepEnglish.com 10,000 hour rule, active listening, normal speed. A self-made man or woman is an English expression used to describe a person who has reached the highest levels of success without help from others. A self-made man or woman has overcome challenges and succeeded through sweat, determination, and effort alone. In other words, true grit. Usually, we imagine that this kind of person is someone who grew up poor but worked hard and made it to the top. We don't think of someone like Jeb Bush, a member of the United States' most famous and powerful families. Florida Governor Jeb Bush is the grandson of a U.S. senator, son of a U.S. president, and the brother of another U.S. president. And in November of 2016, we will see if Jeb Bush also becomes president. Jeb's family is not just politically powerful, he comes from a long line of Wall Street bankers and company presidents. And yet, he once had the gall to describe himself as a self-made man. It's not surprising that Jeb Bush would want to project the image of a self-made man, even if nothing could be further from the truth. The idea that anyone can be successful if they work hard pulls at people's heartstrings. We value grit and determination. We root for the underdog. We want to live in a fair world where talent and hard work pays off. But in reality, life isn't always a meritocracy. No one would argue that the opportunities and connections that comes from being born into a rich family give the children of the rich an advantage. Despite talent or effort, the deck is stacked in their favor. They have access to the best education, this gives them access to better jobs, and of course they have more access to money for investing or starting businesses of their own. But certainly, there are some areas where pure talent and hard work are the keys to success. Some would say that sports are a pure meritocracy. You move faster, jump higher, or score more goals, and you're rewarded with fat paychecks and endorsement deals. And that's all true. No one gets to be a professional athlete because his or her rich mother or father knows the owner of the team. But according to Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, even becoming a professional sports athlete isn't determined only by hard work and pure talent. Gladwell uses the world of hockey as an example. You might be surprised to learn that more Canadian professional hockey players are born in January than any other month. And the second most common month to be born is February. And the third most common month? Well, that would be March. In fact, 40% of professional hockey players are born between January and March. 30% are born between April and June. 20% are born between July and September. And just 10% of professional hockey players are born between October and December. So what's going on here? If sports were determined purely by ability, the birthdays of these athletes would be more or less evenly distributed throughout the year. Professional sports are big money, and the owners and coaches of professional sports teams don't care when an athlete's birthday is. Professional hockey players born in January aren't from richer families, but they were born with an advantage. When they first started playing hockey as 5-year-olds, they had the advantage of being the oldest player on the team, and the December-born 5-year-olds had the disadvantage of being the youngest players on the team. At that age, the older you are, the greater your chances of being bigger, stronger, and more coordinated. These physical advantages get them extra attention from coaches, which gives them extra self-confidence. From there, they excel. They graduate to more elite children's teams which play more games, giving the child the extra advantage of more practice time. As child athletes get older, the difference between someone born in January and someone born in December becomes less and less. And by the time they are adults, there's no difference at all. But that extra attention and self-confidence that they were given as children has made a huge difference in their development. Around the world, age requirements can have far-reaching effects on a child's whole life. And it doesn't just happen in hockey. The birthdays of professional soccer players and baseball players also have a relationship with the age requirements for children's soccer teams and baseball teams. But what about the world of business? The media likes to tell stories of genius business leaders who have changed the world through talent and hard work alone. Bill Gates is a computer programming genius who started one of the biggest companies in the world. He is the richest person in the world, and he has worked extremely hard his whole life. Gates is worth $79.2 billion because he has provided a lot of value to the world. But is it through talent and hard work alone? To many, he is a self-made man. Bill Gates' father was a successful lawyer and his mother was a successful businesswoman, but Bill didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth. He lived a fairly normal middle-class life. However, he did have one incredible advantage. He went to a school that had a computer. In 1968, his mother, along with some of the other mothers, held a yearly sale to raise money for the school. That year, they decided to put $3,000 into buying the school a computer. In the 1960s, to have access to a computer as a junior high school student was an amazing advantage, and Bill Gates took full advantage of it. He quickly became obsessed with computer programming and practically lived in that computer room. This is not to say that Gates wasn't extremely talented and hardworking. There is no doubt that he put in the hours, and he definitely had a knack for understanding computers, but that talent and effort alone wasn't enough. He needed access to computers that almost no one else his age had. The school he went to gave him that rare opportunity to put in the practice hours to develop that talent. Gladwell believes that talent and hard work are necessary requirements for success, but it's not enough. He says that on top of talent, people need to practice a skill for 10,000 hours or more to reach a high level of mastery. He points to the work of psychologist K. Anders Ericsson, who studied violinists from an elite music college in Germany. Students at this school had studied the violin since the age of 5. With the help of 2 professors, Anders first ranked the skill level of the students as elite, high level, and merely good. He then interviewed the students about their lifelong practice habits and found that the main difference between these 3 groups was the number of hours they had practiced. The merely good students had practiced an average of 4,000 hours in their life. The high-level students had practiced for 8,000 hours, and the elite students who had the potential to become stars had practiced for 10,000 hours. This focus on time spent practicing over talent and effort alone as a key to elite-level success is known as the 10,000-hour rule. The Beatles became popular in England in 1962 and took the U.S. by storm in 1964. They soon became international stars and rock and roll legends, but their journey started long before. In fact, some say their journey started 10,000 hours before. In 1957, the Beatles were just a lowly high school band from Liverpool, England. Their big break came not from a record company or TV producer, it was from a German strip club owner named Bruno. Bruno decided that he needed rock musicians to pull customers into his strip club, so he went to England in search of musicians. The young Beatles jumped at a chance to play the strip clubs of Hamburg, Germany. The pay wasn't good, but they were showered with sex and alcohol, and most importantly, they got lots of time on stage, up to 8 hours a night. We got better and got more confidence. We couldn't help it with all the experience playing all night long, said John Lennon. In addition to being talented, the Beatles, Bill Gates, and pro hockey stars also put in massive hours. And the hours they put in are what pushes them above all the other talented hard workers out there. Look deeply behind so-called self-made men and women, and you'll find the same recipe of talent, effort, hours, and opportunity. Gladwell asks us to consider how the lack of opportunity for some is causing society to lose out on untapped potential. And on a personal level, how much of our own untapped potential success is just a 10,000-hour journey away?